Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling, and welcome to the unofficial Eurovision podcast at Eurovision. I got a round of applause as well. Yes, here in Oslo, away from the studio, and joined by some illustrious commentators, journalists, and performers here at Eurovision on the Eurovision podcast. Let's pass the microphone around and see who we have today when we are on the balcony of the Opera House of Oslo. We have...
My name is Charlene Wright, and I'm from Sydney, Australia.
Hi, David Elder here again from The Scotsman in Edinburgh, in Scotland.
And Paul from Brisbane, Australia, after 40 hours of travel, made it here just in time.
You landed about like 5 hours ago, Paul, didn't you?
Pretty much. Straight to the apartment, change, shower, out and about.
That's it. Who else do we have? We also have...
Dermot Manning from Dublin in Ireland, covering the Eurovision for radio, and my 16th time here at the contest.
Wow, you're a veteran, man. I'm Jurgis Didžiulis, representing Lithuania with the uber cool band Inkulto.
Everyone, we're all here on your official Eurovision podcast. We have a round of applause. David, let me start with you. Obviously, the jukebox juries have finished. We've been previewing all the songs. But you've been out here for a week already, watching those first rehearsals. And those rehearsals, suddenly everything changes for the songs and the performers and the runners and riders. They all get shaken up again.
Absolutely, Ewan. Lots has changed since we spoke when we were in Edinburgh. There've been a lot of songs have really come up in performance this week, and a lot have kind of gone down in performance. If we start with the ones that have kind of gone down a bit, I think Denmark, big surprise to everyone, just not coming over quite so well.
While I made an early bet on Denmark, I definitely want my money back after seeing their rehearsal.
Having said that, though, the one everyone was talking about before we came out was Azerbaijan. Could she handle the live vocals? Boy, can she handle the live vocals. She is fabulous. Really, really good. So we could be in Baku next year. Lithuania were fab.
Yes, well, we'll come to that now. I mean, we've had Azerbaijan, and everyone's going, oh, they're spending all the money. There's an almost mechanical attempt to win. Yet, the band that is causing the most stir, the band that is doing massive long sets in the harbour of Norway, are Inkulto, who are here.
Wow, that's a great compliment. Thank you. Thank you for saying so. We were a bit depressed. We thought we weren't doing enough, you know.
I mean, you come out here and you do lots of PR, but, you know, most of the effort is down to that 3 minutes, and you're running up first in the second semi-final, so everybody has to watch for you there and everybody else. What does doing all the press and the marketing and all the gigs in Norway do for you as the band at Eurovision? Because it doesn't really hit the voters, does it?
Well, you know, we have a very small budget, and what we lack in money, we make up in human resources and heart and charisma, you know, and we try to milk it to the end. And since you know that we're first in the second semifinal, which is probably the worst spot you can start in, we need all the help we can get. So rather than just sitting with our arms crossed, we're trying to let people know, hey, you know, we're in Inkulto, come on, turn your TV sets early, get your beer, go to the bathroom before the show starts, and watch your performance, because it will not be bad. And that said, now we're focusing entirely on our performance, because as you may or may not know, we play, you know, we like playing music. And for us, the whole Eurovision thing is kind of like the Full Monty thing, where you're trying to jump some hurdles and do something which you usually don't do, which is the dancing synchronized, you know, and pulling the pants off and all of this. So we're really trying really hard. So first of all, you know, please don't forget to watch us. Go to the toilet, get your beer on time, and second day.
So we've got Dermot here in his 16th Eurovision. You have the countries that come up and, you know, and are very strict about it and treat it as an almost business engagement. Then you have countries like Lithuania who they just come out and they just look like they're having an immense amount of fun. Does that have an impact? Does that come through to the viewers?
I think it does. I mean, certain countries, when they put no effort into the entry or there were no publicity or PR behind it, it just doesn't carry over then into the feedback of what people are talking about. But the likes of Lithuania this year, like, they're good fun, they're a good delegation, they're out there meeting the people, pressing the flesh, I suppose. And it helps. It does help. It absolutely helps.
Okay, so we're as I said, we're out here at one of the parties, a party for Georgia, out here in the Opera House. And we have a couple of listener questions, which I'm going to throw round the panel. And this one question I absolutely love. Which Eurovision song do you think would make the best ringtone?
Has to be ding-a-dong, ringtone, ding-ding-ding-a-dong. Why not?
I think maybe Verka Sharadushka, actually. It's nice and catchy, memorable, love it.
I wonder maybe if we could get an alfresco version from Inculto. There we go. Snip that out. You have your ringtone and everything. We're finishing the sort of open dress rehearsals. We're going to the dress rehearsals now. Does that mean that the bands have a much stricter routine now? I mean, you're almost like you're going on an actual concert tour rather than all of these big party events and just drifting in and out of the auditorium.
It's eerie. I've never experienced anything like it. You're supposed to be on call when you wouldn't expect to be on call, like at 9:30 in the morning. Now you have to like work your magic. And then you go to parties where you're supposed to be composed and you can't drink very much because you have to get up early in the morning. So it's quite the opposite of what we're used to. But, you know, for us, this is all a gift we've been given and we're making the most of it.
All right. So we have all the questions. Highlights from the first week. Paul, you've been watching from afar. What's been your big takeaway from the first week?
Well, I've certainly found it a lot different because this is actually the first year I've made the effort to go and have a look at the bands and so forth beforehand. Obviously, those in Australia will know SBS's coverage is a delayed telecast, so it's often very, very difficult to actually enjoy the show and not have the surprise spoilt. So it's been really nice this year to actually be able to go into it knowing that I can listen to the bands beforehand, check it all out, but still not spoil the surprise and the night itself.
Highlight for the first week, probably seeing Tom Dice singing just an a cappella version of his song in the working area of the press centre. Literally two other people just strumming his guitar. And it's a song I think a good one to watch.
The Icelandic party, we actually ended up there yesterday. I think that was a massive highlight. Certainly know how to throw a party, those Icelanders.
Okay, I'm just going to say tonight it's been the highlight so far. A nice big party, lots of delegations here, lots of food, lots of wine. Let's go party. Yeah.
That sounds like an idea. So everybody out there and you're listening in your iPods and MP3 players, we're off to listen to bands and singers and all you get is the electrical guitars. We'll catch you in the show tomorrow.